So appreciate the opportunity to be in front of you today. So as I was preparing the last week and a half to 2 weeks for this, one thing that I wanted to work on in a series of lessons, and I think I have like five or six of them, are looking at like examining current public issues and life events and then how Christians should be responding to that worldview, right? How we should handle our emotions, how we should handle other Christians, right? Or how we should handle people of the world that aren't Christians or aren't behaving like Christians, right? So we're going to walk through some of those today. So today we're going to walk through some foundational type stuff. And then the next part, the next lesson would be truth and knowledge, as I labeled it. And then I have moral right and wrong. And then I have human authority, government, and then social order, right? And how those things affect us as Christians. And then we get into some other things as well in terms of how we handle that. So work, money, business, those type of things. So there's some application to us, right? Even if we're not in the business world today, it's about how we interact with people in the community, how we represent ourselves. So we'll keep it pretty conversational today. We're pretty short-handed, but what do our views, as we go through life as Christians, what do our views impact? Just to name a few. If we're going through, or if you're looking at your everyday life, whether it's Kenneth or myself or Walter or anybody, so what do our views as Christians, how should they influence our day-to-day life in the world that we live in?
Well, we want to be an inspiration to others. We want people to look at us and say, hey, they've got something I haven't got.
Right. Different, right? Set apart. Anything else?
We got to do everything in God's way.
Absolutely, right? So what are some things that sometimes get in the way of that? What are some things that get in the way?
Life.
Like, they could either be life, right? Life by circumstances or events, right? Sometimes they either pull us away or they pull us to, depending on where we're at, right? What else? What about emotions? I classify myself as an emotional person. Not like one of these, but like I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm passionate about things. So if somebody says something that's contrary to what I believe, sometimes I'm emotional about it because I care about it, right? So emotions can dictate our view, right? Or we can let it dictate our view. What else?
The way we act, the way we dress, the way
exactly.
We talk.
So decisions, right? So decisions is another way, right? So the decisions that we make, right, also determine our view of how things either are or aren't, right? In some circumstances.
There's also the negative side of all of that, which would be things like pride or envy or covetousness that might cause
for sure.
Us to think a certain way about things.
Absolutely. I'm going to grab a Bible really quick. All right, so we're going to look at some scriptures this morning. And we have some really good example of why the Christian's worldview should be different, right? Why it's different. So we're going to look at some scriptures this morning. If somebody wants to read, they can, but we'll walk through a few of these. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verses 7 through 21. So Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 21. And if somebody is there and would like to read, let me know. Otherwise, I'll read it for us.
But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of things and do count them but done that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, be made comfortable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What? 20.
Yeah, if you want to read through 15, Kenneth, I'll read the rest.
Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it that I may apprehend that which also I have apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press forward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But let therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you.
Nonetheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together with me and mark them which walk, so that we have us as for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that there are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from hence we also took for our Savior the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned unto his glorious body, according unto the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Okay. Does Paul's faith here result in a different evaluation of things? Does Paul's faith here result in different evaluation of things?
Certainly.
Certainly. Right? And I think that's a good example. There's really good examples for us in how he looks at things, right? How he looks at the conversation of heaven, right? And ultimately the goal in which we want to get to, right? So, as we look at the viewpoint of a Christian in this world, right, compared to other people, that we can both and all of us agree that there are different things in how we perceive, right? So perceptions can be different here. But Paul tells us that we should look at it in this way. So let's jump and let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And if anybody is there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 13, and we'll start there. Second Corinthians chapter 4.
Verse 13?
Yes, sir.
And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak.
Okay, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Okay. In this circumstances here, in what ways have all things become new in this circumstances?
Well, there's a giving up of what we used to think was important, what we valued, and then we get new things to value.
Absolutely. Spiritual things, right? So he's teaching us here that before I could have valued these things, where now I see this as being the way, and now I'm going to value these things.
And I think that's what Paul's point in Philippians is, you know, I count all these things loss for Christ. Now I value what happens after the resurrection. Now I value my citizenship in heaven.
Right. Exactly. Anybody else have any thoughts as we look at those verses? Okay. Question I wrote down here, are a Christian's emotions different than a non-Christian? And in what ways?
They're at least working that way. I mean,
right?
It's not always an automatic difference, but you're continuously trying to work on your emotions to be more like God as
right.
opposed to more like others.
Absolutely. Any other thoughts on the emotional side of this? I wrote down Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12. If we could turn there. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Right? So as an emotion, we should have gladness, right? We should be glad. Let's look, as we look at our view, our emotions, our minds, and how we look at things differently, right? Let's go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. And if somebody is there and would like to read, Colossians chapter 2, or chapter 3 and verse 2.
Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Okay. So as we're looking at this, right, and we're looking at how we're intertwined with the world, and we're going to get into this, so this is our foundation for today, is understanding this. So we are to set our things, our mind on those things, and not the things of the world. So to set our minds upon the things above and not here. So when we're thinking about controlling our emotions, right, it has to do with us being able to control what? Our mind, right? They're intertwined, right? Yeah, that's just the way it works, right? So mentally, we have to be able to control our mind, control our thoughts, and then thus, if we can control our mind and our thoughts, then we can control our emotions, right? And we don't let ourselves get too far one way or too far the other. We stay where we need to be in terms of spiritual things, right? So we have to be able to control our minds and be cognizant of that. Like, if we're thinking about things that are putting us in a position where we're not controlling our emotions, or we're, I would say, more loose with that, right? Then we have to be like, hey, I mentally have to prepare myself to handle certain things that come about in a way that allows me to control my emotions. For me, sometimes.
Sometimes that's hard.
That's hard. Very hard. Because we're human, right? For me, personally, if I find myself doing that, I sometimes will, if I can, remove myself from the situation that's given me the challenge, right? Did you have something? Okay. But that's for me, right? And I think, Betty, that's what we see sometimes, is that when we find ourselves getting in a situation where we're like that, or we don't have the ability to control our emotions, we have to make a decision. Either I let my emotions control me, or I control them. And sometimes that's just removing yourself from the situation, right? Even if it's for 30 seconds or 45 seconds or taking a deep breath, right? So you have to remove yourself from that.
You have to also cut sometimes, because like when the tree fell on my house, kept seeing that, I could see myself spiraling into depression.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, wait a minute, I can't do this.
Right.
So I had to look at the blessings, you know, it isn't in my house. It didn't, you know, it didn't fall on me because that tree was right above where I was sleeping.
Yeah.
So you got to see those blessings.
I think we, this morning, like I was talking to Kenneth, right? They had a tornado go over their house and did a lot of damage and did a lot of work. They had to do a lot of work to get it there, right? And it's probably still not back to where it was, right? And then Kenneth's telling me that he had lightning hit his house and blow the chimney pretty much off the house, and to the point that it blew the light bulbs out in the house, right? And this morning, yesterday I had a tractor engine go down on my farm. I have to take responsibility for that because I probably could have prevented it,
but it happened. And then I had a tractor parked at the end of the field this morning, and when I woke up this morning, there was water over the tractor. And it was way away from the river. So lose two tractors in one day. But guess what? I got to get in my truck, come here, right? It's all about perspective and controlling the emotions, because I could have been upset. I could have been mad. I could have been mad at myself. But guess what? It's about controlling that. So as hard as it is.
But you didn't completely forget it.
No, you learn from it too, right? Like I was coming in last night and I said, you know, I've never seen the water get that high, but it's supposed to rain a lot. And I could have moved the tractor forward 15 feet and I'd have been fine. But I didn't.
And in such circumstances like that, you can even get angry at God, you know?
Sure. Sure. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. And if somebody beats me there and would like to read that, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13.
Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Okay. So what does that tell us, Nathan? Try to not to put you on the spot. But what does it tell us? I'll put you on the spot. How about that? I'll just call it what it is. Okay.
That our minds to be more like God, it takes preparation. It takes mental exercise in a way. That's kind of how I'm taking some of that. And it takes us having a goal, the idea of fixing our hope on the grace to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's the idea of realizing the broad scheme of things, the bigger perspective, the end game. What are we working for? Because the tractors that you mentioned, those are short term.
Right.
They're here today, gone tomorrow.
Right.
As God in heaven and with Christ is eternal, and that's what you're working toward.
Right. And I think sometimes, right, we look at it from a perspective, and I think even with myself, right, like, I don't have kids, right? Or I don't have, you know, in that sense. But sometimes, right, if we don't have our mind fixated on that, then even if we let our emotions, right, or our minds, and we don't control them, then we can literally have a moment that doesn't just influence you, right? It can influence your kids, or it can influence your family or the people that you're around in a negative way, right? And it does show them that you're more worried about this narrow little thing that really in the grand scheme of things is something physical to something that is way more broad, and say, you know what? The good Lord's going to take care of me one way or the other. I'm going to do what I need to do, and I'm going to take it'll be taken care of, right? So that's what you have to do. So it's good for us to have ourselves fixated upon those things. But one thing that I've noticed with my own self, and I will admit this to you all, is that when my mind's not there, like, and I'm not there and I'm not studying my Bible every day and I'm not in the Word, then guess what?
It's easy to fall.
Man, is it not easy to catch yourself, like, being really quick to be emotional, or really quick to be, in this case, to look at something short-sighted, right? Like, because it affects you right now. So it's pretty easy to do. Okay. All right. So I broke this down too. So we understand that there are certain things that as Christians we have to separate ourselves from and what the worldview is, right? So there are a lot of different worldviews, right? Especially towards spirituality or to being a Christian, right? There's a lot of different views. There's a lot of different churches. I think there's like 3,500 of them now that have different views. But, so I'm going to take this back to, in the time that we have left, is looking at the foundational principles of Christian views, right? So we're going to look at some foundational stuff, and then we'll look at some what like alternative worldviews could be, right? So that way we could see, here's what the Christian worldview should be in terms of even creation or God, and then here's what the worldview sees them as, right? And there is a difference, and you should see the difference. So, okay.
First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. Let's go there.
Do we hear puppies somewhere? I tell you, you know. I was like, man, I hear a puppy. I like puppies, so I feel sorry for that puppy.
Is there a puppy?
I guess.
I don't know. I don't know where the puppy's at, but he sounds hungry. We're wet. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. So 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So what does that tell us about God? 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. From the world view to a Christian view, what does that tell us? That it's an infinite God, right?
He's not a temporal thing,
right? Exactly. And he's what? The original creator, right? Okay.
And king and authority of all, too.
Absolutely. What would be the alternative view in the world today in that context? What would be the alternative view?
That I get to rule my own life.
Very good. That you're the one who gets to rule, right? What else?
Might be there are other options for an authority, being another god of some sort that's still there.
Absolutely. I also wrote down impersonal, right? Like, that worldview might be that it's not a personal relationship with your creator, right? There's that view too, right? Okay. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 8 and verse 4. So, from a Christian worldview, in terms of spirituality, right, how do Christians view it in terms of our ability to make our own decisions, control our own outcome? What would that be? What would be a name for that?
Free will.
Free will, right? So that's the second thing I wrote down. So when you look at Christians, right, we have the free will to worship somebody or to follow somebody. In an alternate view of the world, what do people sometimes believe?
They believe there's no God at all.
They believe there's no God at all. What else can they believe?
They believe that their will is controlled by that God.
Controlled? So there might be more. Right, so a Calvinistic type of approach where you're predestined, right? There's a lot of that. I actually encountered that this week to a certain extent, right? So there's a level of Calvinistic type of view where somebody could be like, okay, you either have free will to make the decisions that you do, and then therefore those decisions dictate your outcome. And then there's a worldview that, like, either I can't dictate my outcome at all because God doesn't exist, or there's a God that exists that has already predestined me to be saved or to be not saved, right?
Right, so you almost even in the negative have a helpless desire for the sinful nature that you might have.
Yeah, right, that you have no control over that. Isaac and I actually had a chance to converse about that when we went to Raw this week and we were talking about that, right? And he's studying with some people that have that view, right? That Calvinistic type of view, right? Not the Christian view or what what is taught in the Bible, but more of a Calvinistic type. Let's go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. What does this tell us about God and his plan? And how it affects us? What does this verse do in terms of that? It tells us what?
Death is sin.
Yes. Yep. Sin caused what? Imperfections, right? In us, right? So, if we look at this in a worldview, what could somebody in the world say about this? So we say sin causes imperfections, right? What could a worldview say? Or somebody in the world, when they say, hey, okay, sin is what is separation of God, what can somebody in the world say in relation to that?
Well, a lot of Calvinistic approach, if you take that approach to this verse, would say Adam's sin makes me imperfect. When in reality, the verse is saying death spreads to you because you sin. So
right.
It's my sin that makes me imperfect.
Right. Or in this case, too, you have no control over your sin, right? And to a certain extent, you can say, well, it is what it is because I didn't do it. It was brought to me from here, and therefore I can't. So that's a difference, right? Okay.
What qualifies as sin, also, like for a complete world view, is what's sin?
Right.
I don't feel like I'm a sinner. I don't think anything I'm doing is wrong unless I'm completely hurting someone, and that might be debatable.
Right.
I'm doing nothing wrong.
Right. And you see that a lot, right? And that's a hard thing to sometimes overcome, right? Is that if you have an idea that, like, hey, I'm doing things in good conscience, right? Or at least in my conscience, I think that I'm doing things right, right? And I'm not really hurting anybody, so is it wrong, right? And I think that comes back to the idea that you or I can't determine what is right or wrong. We have to let the Word determine what right or wrong is, right? Otherwise, there's not a basis in it, right?
Well, you know, there's a product of sin and there's a product of righteousness.
Very true. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the next part of this, as we get into this, is, and I just wrote the question here, and is there conflict between Christians and the world?
Always.
Yeah.
Always. Always, right? And it's that simple, right? Right? You think it's that simple, but it's so much deeper than that, right? For a lot of different reasons. To your point earlier, like, there's sometimes the idea that, like, I'm not that far off, right, from here. I'm just this far over here, right? So, but there is a conflict between Christians and the world, and there should be, right? Because we're called to be set apart. Why are we called to be set apart? Ultimately, why are we called to be set apart ourselves from the world? So we have two, we have different worldviews. So we have the physical worldviews, we have all these worldviews, and then you have Christian worldviews here in general, right? And then there's a conflict between the two. So why are we called to be set apart? So that what? Ultimately.
So that we can belong to Christ. He purchased us.
He purchased us, right? What else?
Well, to serve God.
To serve God, right? To be holy, right? To have righteousness. But ultimately, why are we to be set apart? Like, what's the end product for us? What do we want to accomplish? If we're in the world and we're going to separate ourselves from all these people that are of the world, what's the end goal? What do we want to accomplish by doing that? There's to be holy and be righteous and be right in His sight, but what else?
I mean, ultimately, is that if our goal is to be in heaven, which is completely separate from the world, in actuality, I mean, then why not, as we live here, we should be practicing a separation from that world we live in, because that's not where we're going to stay.
Absolutely.
The eternal. We're looking forward to the eternal.
Absolutely.
The fact, I think most people don't realize that their life continues. There is a life that continues beyond this life.
Right. The other thing that I was thinking about even driving over here, right? And I was thinking about these, and I was just thinking about the verses in my head. So, one, our own personal salvation is to be set apart and to be different from those of the world, to understand the different world viewpoints, right, that are there. And then also through our example, we can also do what? Bring people.
We can show Christ.
We can show Christ, right? We can be the light to the world, right? Because we know that the world has darkness in it through sin, right? And so there's darkness and there's light. And if we're not in the world, which we have to be in the world, right? We have to live in it. We have to be a part of it. We also have to stand out from it so that we could also bring people to Christ, right? And so then we go back to the earlier part of this. And part of it is if we're in the world, I personally still have to be cognizant of my emotions, right? Because I'm around people who are openly sinning, right? I still have to be a light unto them, right? Otherwise, they might not know Christ, right? So it goes back to that and controlling your emotions, controlling it, even if they don't agree with you, but having being the right example to them, right? And being the light. So it's twofold. Any other thoughts? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Well, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, and the just for the unjust, and that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, be quickened by the Spirit." What does that verse teach us about the world and our relationship to it? I think somebody said it earlier in the study about readiness, right? So he's saying, too, to be ready, right? To give an account of that which is good, right? So we have to be ready and be prepared, right? So if we're in the world and we're not ready and we're not prepared, then it puts us in a tough spot, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, if we're sanctified and to be set apart from the world, we're promised that we're going to have persecution from that world, because we're always going to be in conflict with ideals and always contrary. I mean, here it seems like he is saying that you need to be ready for that so that you can explain it, so that maybe you can talk about it and you can show why you are contrary to worldview. And that it's going to suffer. It's not going to feel good. It's going to hurt, but at least you're doing it for what's right, and you're doing it for God's ideals and righteousness' sake, not for, like a criminal being punished because they have done wrong.
Right. It's a very good point. Walter, did you have
something? Yeah, I was going to say, back up in that chapter you're in, read verse 10, 11, and 12. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. It's right there in the same chapter you had.
Absolutely. Thanks for pointing that out. And that's the reality, right? It's a firm reality. So, for time's sake, I'll close here in just a few minutes with a couple of thoughts. So, so when we look at the worldview and the Christian view, right, and in summary, and we're looking at this, that we have free will, right, to make decisions. So man, in general, has a decision to make between good and evil, right? We as Christians also have that, right? Internally, right? We have to be able to do good things and not do evil things, even our own thoughts and our minds and our hearts, right? So we have to do those things. There are consequences for our decisions, right? There are those. They're clearly lined out. We have those. And as we look at this, I wrote a few thoughts here in terms of what this world is in terms of being temporal, right? So I think when I was just looking at overall, as we look at here's the world, here's Christians living in the world, that sometimes the carnal things or the worlds of this flesh then have people lust for them, right? Pride, possessions, all those things. But we have to be able to discern in our own and control our own selves within that, so then that we could also make sure that we end up where we want to, right? In terms of being in heaven, but also make sure that we're bringing as many people with us as possible, right? We can't covet one thing and then ask people not to covet it as well. Right? So we have to cast that out. Okay. So when we look at this moving forward, we'll break this into, I'll do a little bit about pulling this all together with Paul next week. So we'll look at Paul and how Paul directly related to the world and spiritual things. So we'll look at Paul as an example next week. And then we will get into the next part of the next lesson, will be truth and knowledge. Right? So we'll look at Paul, how he handled people of the world, what he told us, what he instructed us to do, and then we'll look at truth and knowledge. So understanding what is truth and what is not, and then how we apply it to living in a world in which we have to be able to show truth, right? To be able to be accountable to the word and teach. So we're going to work through that next week. So main topic will be looking at Paul, his examples, and then we'll look at truth and knowledge directly related to that. So any questions or thoughts as we look at this morning? So we understand in closing that there's a worldview, right? And then there's a Christian view. If I'm guessing, which I think we could all agree, that we're probably outnumbered, right? Like, there is more people that probably side here in a worldly view or a fleshly view than in a Christian view, right? So we have to be able to be prepared, be mentally prepared, have our minds mentally prepared, so that way we can have an account for what is right and truthful, right? Using the word of God, so that way we can then teach people that there are other things besides this world that have value, right? And to be ready for that. We're instructed to be ready. So we don't want to miss an opportunity with somebody because we're not ready. And it might not be because we don't know the scriptures. We don't want it to be because I'm having a bad day and I have an opportunity, but guess what? I'm so consumed with myself and my own problems that I completely miss an opportunity, right? So we want to make sure that we have our emotions in check, right? Like, hey, I'm breathing, I'm doing good. You know, the good Lord will take care of us. We have brothers and sisters in Christ that could help us. So all those things, as Nathan said, are temporal. Like, they're passing, they're fleeting, even tribulations, right? Or challenges, for the most part, if we look at them as I get older, some things that I thought were like, oh man, this is terrible. Now I'm like, you know, this is nothing, you know? So that comes with experience and understanding too, that we have to be able to recognize those things as being what they are, right? And still staying fixed on the things that are above and not here. So thank you for your attention this morning and just walking through so we can start as a base of understanding, hey, here's two different ways to look at it. And then we're going to go through the way that we interact within the world in order to, one, protect our own souls and bring other people to Christ. So that's the lesson this morning. Next week, we'll walk through those things. If anybody has any questions in the meantime, don't hesitate to ask me. I'll probably do a quick recap, and then we'll get into the next Sunday. We'll get into it pretty quick because there's a lot of scripture that I want to walk through and how Paul approached this, how he tells us to approach it. And then we'll look at truth and knowledge and how that differs between views within the world and within the Christian view. So we'll walk through those. So.